The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And we're back. It's hour two at, where'd the clock go? 6:06. I'm Randy Corporan. Good to have you here. Phones have been hot. Text messages have been hot. We love it. 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. We're going to hear this hour, or at least before the show is over. You know how sometimes time slips away, but Ronald Reagan made one of his great speeches way before he became president 60 years ago. And it is so fitting today. It's absolutely relevant. He had no idea. I mean, his speech, as great of an amplified warning as it was at that time, could not have possibly, he couldn't have understood just how desperate these times would be. And, you know, I get the text messages and the calls and the emails on my Republican National Committee man email from the virtue signalers who have to, you know, keep their pride and their rightness above the slowly swirling down the drain fate of the United States of America. You know what I mean, the never Trumpers, the anybody but Trumpers, the people who will hold their noses and vote for Joe Biden if he remains the nominee. I still have significant doubts about that. But, you know, you got to move on from those folks, because I have never seen, and we'll get back to Jay, let him finish his story, get to the rest of your phone calls tonight as well in just a second. I have never seen a more energized Republican Party here in the state of Colorado. You know, you get the Dick Wadhamses of the world and others who want to constantly preach about what a disaster the state party is, even though fundraising has been pretty impressive. But energy, people who are filling precincts, people who are getting up off the couch, people who are sick and tired of being sick and tired of the same old way of doing business. And that same energy is on the Republican National Committee. You know, it took me many, many months after the passing of my wife to really decide whether I wanted to make another four-year commitment and be a part of the RNC, or just sort of go into my hole and raise my grandchildren and, you know, wrap up my career and all of those kinds of things. It took a while. But as the darkness starts to be replaced with some light, as the feelings of pain become less frequent and less debilitating, and you start getting back into your life, I'm excited and I love what I'm seeing. Same thing on the RNC. You would have loved the energy on the RNC, the people, and they're not all just, you know, Trump, no matter what, Trump this, Trump that. They're people who understand the results of Trump policies. When people say the Trump cult, they ought to say the Trump policy cult. Because we all know what kind of life we had, what kind of country we had 2016 through 2020, how close we were to actually securing that border, how close we were to overturning Obamacare. John McCain, a classic Bushy establishment, old guard Republican. Sorry, folks. And I'm no military man. I can't criticize anybody who was for their service to our country. But your legacy is what it is. And John McCain's legacy, one of his last significant acts before cancer took his life, was to wait until 2 o'clock in the morning and be the last vote on the Senate floor with poor Mitch McConnell. It's no wonder Mitch McConnell freezes up sometimes now. I mean, the stress he must have gone through waiting, foot tapping, arms crossed, John McCain, the last vote with a thumbs up, Obamacare, the worst, most damaging, freedom-sucking, money-costing piece of legislation in history. And he walked out there and gave it a thumbs down. Those are the kind of folks that stand on their high horses, stand on their moral superiority, continue their virtue signaling, and aren't even willing to admit, apparently, how different it is to live in a country that puts American values first, not just American needs and wants, but American values, security, prosperity, energy independence, making other so-called allies pay and hold up their fair share in our, you know, our self-ordained policing around the world. But these virtue signalers just can't get past their personal, I don't know, it's got to be ego. I can't imagine it being anything else. But you know what? There are so many more new people with new energy and a new focus. And whether they like Donald Trump personally or not, are willing to vote for somebody who you know the 4 years, if Donald Trump wins the presidency, given what he accomplished, not knowing that his own cabinet, his own appointees, people in the military that were supposed to be helping him further his policies were committing crimes against him, were setting him up, were creating lies and myths, Russia collusion, all of it, and slow walking the things that he was trying to do. And yet he was a disruptor and a massive accomplisher. And now he's got that term under his belt. So you get a second term, it's going to be really amazing to watch. And you virtue signalers, you know, you can pat yourselves on the back. And if somehow, and I don't believe this to be true, there are enough of you to prevent defeating whomever the Democrats put up or have in place by the time the November election comes around, if there are enough of you virtue signalers, then the fate of the country will be on you, because you know what will stop this swirling. You know it, whether you can get past your virtue signaling or not. Anyway, we've kept Jay so long. I'm sorry about that, Jay. I just get these messages, and they're pretty hilarious, and sometimes they need to be dealt with. But welcome back.
Well, that's great stuff. Yeah. You know, I think about the 2016 election, and you know, Hillary almost became our president, and really scary that she could have been our president. And we were coming in out of Cheyenne on aircraft and coming through Douglas County, went over the monument and then Elizabeth. And after the election, it was truly breathtaking. The number of Christmas lights, horse corrals, homes, crosses, Stars of David, all kinds of things throughout that rural area. Through Douglas County and then making a turn off of Monument coming back to Elizabeth. And it was truly a moving thing for me, because you could see that all the people in those areas were really thanking one another and God for not making Hillary our president. And she won the popular vote. And it was just an incredible moment that we saw from the air.
Yeah.
And it was, by the grace of God, she didn't get involved. I knew people that were tried and true Democrats, but especially the females in our family, aunts and uncles, but they all knew there's no way she could have, you know, done anything but just terrorize this country. And of course, that's kind of what we're dealing with the Biden administration, only in a different flavor, but they're pulling the same routine right now.
Well, this is where we're at now, isn't it, Jay? Where, you know, if you had gotten a third term in a row of Barack Hussein Obama via Hillary Clinton, we would be more accelerated down the road to ruin than we are right now. The 4 years of Trump, I thought, would push back the Democrat agenda further than it did. But if we hadn't had that period of strength, that period of security, that focus on the border, we wouldn't have the energy, the people, the chutzpah to push back on this last gasp effort of the Democrats to take us down and overturn our civil society.
Yeah, that's truly what they're trying to do. And just the other day, I saw something that really hurt me, having a lot of military in the family, is being our National Guard being walked over by illegal aliens at the border. We need to open fire on those folks, not maybe hit them, but get close so they back up and keep them away from our border. We see military people being walked over across our border. That would never happen. You and I could never go to Mexico. We couldn't break into Mexico.
They'd shoot us dead instantly.
Put us in jail. That's right.
Yeah, if we were attacking their soldiers or clamoring over them, yeah. And listen, I said this in the first hour of the show, Jay. These are not give me your tired, your poor people with their backpacks and their babies and their wives and their young children. These are all young military-aged men taking on National Guard at our border. I don't think it would be wrong to shoot them. Sorry. I don't think it's necessary. I think we bring in the power. We arrest them. We throw them out. We re-secure the border. You almost, I mean, I know there's a lot of crime and terrorism that's coming into our country now, drugs, et cetera. But some of these folks, you can't blame them for taking advantage of this open invitation to try and, you know, tap into our welfare system and get sucked into our society. But we need to enforce our border. No country on earth can survive doing what we're doing. And Trump is the only way to stop it. And the virtue signalers who keep whining need to really grow up.
Yeah. Yeah, they really do. And, you know, I see now we're disgraced by the fact that people are walking over the top of our soldiers at our border. More will come. And then we find out recently that the Biden administration has flown in 300,000 people to points of destination behind our backs.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's the numbers are staggering. We're seeing, you know, and who knows how much of, you know, parts falling off of airplanes. And, you know, we saw what happened in Moscow where, you know, acts of terrorism are so very rare. I think it's going to be a very dangerous summer in America. And if Trump is, in fact, reelected, as I predict, you know, the radical left is going to be ahead of the curve of trying to create violence and chaos in our cities again.
Yeah, they really caused so much trouble. January 6th is an absolute joke, and although we all know what really went on there. I mean, they put up bicycle racks to keep people out. That's what they use.
Yeah.
They don't use that 8-foot, you know, the whole thing. Well, God bless you, Randy, and I was listening to what you're talking about with your loss, and you know, I know that you'll get through this. There is one movie that helped me after losing a family member. Mm. It sounds funny because it's comedic. It's called Heaven Can Wait with Julie Christie and
was it Warren Beatty?
The name of the male actor.
Warren Beatty. Yeah.
You have to go back and watch it after what you've been through because there's some humor in there and some good faithful things. I know it's just a film, but it'll definitely hopefully brighten up your day.
That's wonderful, Jay. Thanks for holding over, finishing your story, and staying with us here on 710 KNUS. Really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Jay's line is open, 303-696-1971, 696-1971. Someone called in, did not want to go on air, but had a question about Trump bringing malicious prosecution charges against prosecutors and those who've been attacking him. Interesting question, which we'll deal with here in a couple of minutes, but did we lose Joe? Okay. Well, let's go ahead and take our break. Are you with me there, John? Can we go ahead and, let's go ahead and take our break now. And we've got Ronald Reagan audio. What is going on at Planned Parenthood. I meant Planet Hollywood. Or, good Lord. Well, anyway, I'll tell you what, when I get the names right, Planet Fitness, the fitness club. Aye, 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 Joe Biden-itis, too much coffee as well. But anyway, if you stay there, we'll get to all of those things and get back to the phones here in just a moment. 303-696-1971, Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS. I'm really finding music interesting right now because for 10 months, certain songs were just such negative triggers, including that one and others that I pop up here on the show from time to time. But I'm feeling differently. I'm feeling, you know, more inspired, like just trying to get the fight and the future back in line and dig out of the darkness and the deepness. And even that song, come Monday, I feel good about Mondays again. I feel good about a week ahead to get things done, to see how the world is going to unfold. stand up for my kids and grandkids and constituents and everybody else. And I guess it's amazing the different impacts that music can have just depending on where you're at. But speaking of music, a texter had a great suggestion. Randy, how about that Queen song, Fat Bottom Girls? Oh, what happened? Come on, baby.
Oh, you're gonna take me home tonight. Oh, down beside that red firelight. Oh, you're gonna let it all hang out. Fat bottom girls, you make the rocking world go round.
And that was, of course, and particularly for Tish, our friend Tish, Attorney General Tisha James in New York, and then everybody's favorite. Big, big old Fannie Willis. All right. All right, welcome back. We've got one line open, 303-696-1971, 696-1971. I've got to get to some of these text messages here in a little while, but the phones won't quit. We lost Joe before the break. He's back, so let's get to Joe first in Arvada. Joe, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Randy.
Howdy.
Boy, you hit the nail on the head with these virtue signalers. You know, all of you out there who were supporters of, say, Mike Pence or Nikki Haley, you know, along the way they dropped out, and then it's your time now to get in front of the mirror and really have a come to Jesus moment, because you need to look at what these people did. Nikki Haley turned around and said, oh, not only am I not supporting Trump, but I think I should support the other side. Why? Because of her commitment to the military-industrial complex. That's why. Nikki Haley is, rather than support America, help Donald Trump, who loves America, who wants to make America great again, she'd rather sell us down the river to China so we can have some more war. Yeah, let's feast up on all of that money. We need that. Do you need that, America? And how about Mike Pence? Oh, he was so faithful, so true. As soon as he couldn't be president, now he's turned to stab Donald Trump right in the back. Well, guess what? It's time, supporter of these turncoats, to turn it around yourself and realize the only choice is Donald Trump.
And Joe, it's just so hard to imagine, you know, when people like you and me were disappointed that we wound up with George W. Bush as the nominee or Mitt Romney as the nominee, we were told, hey, that's what primaries are for. The primaries are over. And if you don't vote for the Republican, you're just giving away a vote to the Democrats. But they don't want to hear that same explanation. They don't want to live by the rules that they played, that they laid down for us. And instead, they want to stand on their self-righteous virtue signaling, as you pointed out at the start.
With you 100%. And Donald Trump needs to pick his own vice president. Somebody who is a MAGA, Make America Great Again supporter, not a Marco Rubio who wants to get into the pocket of the military-industrial complex again, not a Nikki, or, and I'm even worried about Kristi Noem. You know, she talks a good game, but it seems like when the votes come down to push or shove, she seems to kind of capitulate to the left. I don't want that. I want somebody with a backbone like Donald Trump. Okay, there is no one like Donald Trump. Well, I want somebody as close as possible that can pick up the banner. You know, just like in that statue or where they're picking up the flag because somebody dropped it. We need somebody that, in case Donald Trump can't carry it all the way to the end zone, the next one will.
Any names that pop to mind, Joe?
Well, I love Tucker Carlson, but it seems like he doesn't want the job. I mean, we need to have somebody that's willing to have the job, you know, do the job. I like General Michael Flynn. I don't know. He doesn't seem to have enough political, you know, blood in him to fight that fight. You know, there's some others out there. I think Donald Trump kind of eliminated Ramaswamy this week, so that's out. I look at Marco Rubio. You know, some of me says maybe, but then when I hear his opinion about the next war, I'm just like, no. We don't want that. Ted Cruz.
Well, here's
now, there's the thought.
That would be interesting. I'd rather see him plopped onto the Supreme Court, of course. But I think the rumors of Rubio have to be false because they both live in Florida. You have to have president and vice president from different states. So that just doesn't seem possible. But I did hear and see on the news that was being speculated about. The one thing we know for sure, Joe, it ain't up to us.
No, and it should be, listen to you, all of the establishment people that want to get their greedy hands around the next vice president. Mm-hmm. No. We learned our lesson. We learned our lesson from Bush Sr. We've learned our lesson from, Mike Pence. Ugh. Really? Mike Pence?
Yeah.
Will you make my stomach turn, Mike Pence?
Joe?
Yeah.
Appreciate it. It's all right, man. It's listen, it's game on. It's game day. It's game face. It's play hard. It's push back on the virtue signalers. It's just drive to victory. And
amen.
As certain as I am about the stealing of the 2020 election, if Trump is able to survive to Election Day and they don't somehow throw him in jail, he will be the next president of the United States. Thank you for the call, Joe. Really do appreciate
it. Thank you, Randy.
Bless. Joe's line. Joe's line is open, 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. A virtue signaler texted to the studio in response to my comments about John McCain. If you're just joining the show, I was just talking about the decisions that get made by these old guard establishment Bush Republicans. And I pointed out John McCain, and I understand, he was a reckless military guy, had a general for a father, as I recall, distinguished family, who went through absolute hell for his country, tortured, would not leave, so the story goes, wouldn't leave his fellow soldiers behind, even though he was going to be released because of his father's station in the military, and suffered for the rest of his life with his injuries. And I honor that. I respect it. Anybody who puts on the uniform, I do respect. But here is the kicker for this text. It starts by saying McCain waited that long, and I was talking about the 2:00 in the morning thumbs down to the repeal and replacement of Obamacare. And this texter says that McCain waited that long because he was a man of conscience who understood what sacrifice meant. So somehow supporting the grossest socialized program, most expensive program till they started, till we got into the trillions and COVID spending ever, but one that lasts forever, unless we find a way to get rid of it again, Obamacare. He campaigned, virtue signaling texter. McCain raised millions of dollars on his promise to overturn Obamacare. He campaigned on it. He said it every chance he got because he knew it was popular among Republican voters. Probably had no idea just how dangerous and damaging it was. I did hour-long diatribes and broke down what was really in Obamacare and how it would radically destroy our healthcare system, and it's worse than it's ever been, more expensive than it's ever been, longer waits than it's ever been. Ridiculous what we've allowed to happen to our country. And John McCain, who spent years, got reelected to the Senate, promising to repeal Obamacare, this so-called man of conscience, according to the virtue signaling texter, who said he can't even listen to my show, but apparently is still listening. This man of conscience waited until 2 a.m. to walk as the deciding vote on the repeal of Obamacare, which he had promised to everyone who sent him millions and millions of dollars during his Senate campaigns. And because of his disdain, no Republican, no one with even a drop of conservative blood or an ounce of economic understanding could vote for keeping Obamacare. But this so-called conservative, this long-term Republican, this American hero who raised millions of dollars, just pilfered them from his supporters because of his promise to repeal and replace Obamacare, because of his disdain for Donald Trump, much like this texter, cannot get their principle in front of their butt hurt feelings. And it is disgusting. It's disgusting. Man, the phone calls keep coming, and I so many texts here, so much I want to do with you. But listen, this is a talk show. So before I go to Joan in Lakewood, I thought this was a great question from a caller. Apparently I had a little bit to drink. But we welcome drinkers here. I'm the one who's on the air, so you can drink and call in. I think that would be fun. In fact, in the good old days, man, they used to smoke in studio. They used to pop back a shot or a cold beer. You know, it's illegal to be drunk and drive. I don't think it's illegal to be drunk and talk to a microphone. It's not very smart, especially these days with all the defamation garbage out there, and I'm an expert on that. Yeah, but it was a great suggestion by a, let's just say, a celebratory caller, I don't know, 30 or 40 minutes ago, and I just want to check this off my list before we jump back to the phones. Can Trump bring malicious prosecution claims, a lawsuit against these people who are prosecuting? And here's the problem. For most, and I know this is true in Colorado, I'm not entirely sure about New York, but to bring a malicious prosecution, you have to be successful. You have to be acquitted. The prosecution has to be resolved in your favor. And, you know, I'm in my 26th year of practice, and I have never researched this issue. So I don't know if you're convicted, if that establishes enough good faith on the part of a prosecutor to make it impossible to bring a malicious prosecution, even if your conviction is subsequently overturned at trial. I'm guessing that it does. I'm guessing you cannot bring a malicious prosecution against a prosecutor if you didn't prevail, if you weren't acquitted at trial, because that at least shows that the prosecutor brought the charges in good faith, that knowing that they had a chance, a reasonable likelihood of success at your conviction. And there is no malicious prosecution claim for civil claims against you. That is for criminal prosecutions only. That's my understanding of it. I haven't litigated it ever, I don't think, but I think I'm right about all of it. And listen, look it up. 303-696-1971. Do we have time? Yeah, let's get to Joan. She's been waiting a while. We'll free up her line on the break and keep loading them up. Joan in Lakewood, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Randy. How you doing?
I am doing okay. And did you also text me? Was that you? Yes, it was. I don't know anything about the Griswold impeachment. I've been away. I have been off the air for the last couple of weeks. But so maybe you can tell us about it. But I don't know what you called in for, so I'll turn it over to you.
Well, I called in, first of all, to tell you that you're not the only one who has some hard times. We lost a family member this past couple of weeks.
And so sorry.
My dog is in the hospital. She might come home Monday. But, you know,
I hope so, Joan. That's like family.
your wife and her cat. And
yeah.
So it's one of those things where, you have to cheer yourself up, whatever way you can cheer yourself up. So,
it's a piece of life, right? I mean, the joys of life couldn't be so joyful if we didn't understand the pains of life sometimes. And, you know, you should never lose a spouse early, and it's just tragic when we lose people or our beloved pets. But we can't enjoy the blessings of life if we don't understand the travails of life. So I'm with you, and I am fighting to, you know, I've definitely got my game face on and my fighting boots, and I'm working on the gloves right now.
Well, I've had an interesting week listening to what is happening with the Democrats. The Democrats are eating themselves. They have this very strange thing with Representative Harold and the vice chair of the Democratic Colorado State Party, and the vice chair accused Representative, no, is it Senator Harold or Representative, I can't remember which, of sexually assaulting her. And then the judge said, no, I don't believe this. And you're sitting here going, wait a minute, isn't this part of their code to believe the women? Isn't that just, you know, the thing that they do? But this judge came out and says, I don't believe this, and he's dismissing it. And now they're coming after her and as the vice chair to get rid of her. And it's just one of these things where you're sitting here going, wow, I thought we had trouble with the GOP. We don't have anything close to that.
Yeah, it is funny that, you know, because the media is always so focused and because the never Trumpers and the old guard Bushy Republicans are so angry that they're becoming so less relevant in the Republican Party, they're always pointing their finger at what goes on with Republicans. But my God, you know, think about Joe Biden sniffing and touching children and showering with his daughter. Think of Bill Clinton and his trips to Epstein Island and Monica Lewinsky under the desk and the things you can do with cigars with a willing woman. And it's just all of that stuff. I mean, these people are evil. But we have to spend time, you know, dealing with our own before we can even turn the fire back on the actual enemy. It's pretty pathetic, Joan.
Well, so they decided to put a resolution together in the Colorado Senate to impeach Griswold.
Yeah.
And they turned it in, but the majority leader, Murkowski, won't bring it up yet. Have any kind of discussion or anything on it.
No.
And so it's an interesting thing because here's the fun thing. They've impeached political people 6 times in Colorado. So they've actually done this kind of thing in the past. And the last time they did it was in the 1930s, because in the 1930s the Democrats were in charge and stuff. Then they did some really interesting Ku Klux Klan stuff, and they also embezzled a lot of money.
Huh.
It's just one of those things where you sit and go, you know, what goes around comes around.
Well, that part I agree wholeheartedly. I think the pendulum is swinging hard, and of course we could never expect to impeach Jenna Griswold with almost super majorities on both sides of the Colorado State Legislature, but and a governor. The politics, corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine, none of that would allow it to happen. But I think Griswold has sort of sunk her long-term ambitions. We shall see. But, Joan, I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and perhaps I'll see you down at the Colorado State Assembly in Pueblo here in a couple of Saturdays.
Yep, I finally got a place to stay. Boy, howdy. That's
well,
not easy.
Well, vote for me. I'm running for national committee, man. I think I'm unopposed, so I should win.
That would be good. I hope you win, because I told you before, 2 weeks ago when you announced and stuff, that I think you're the best. And I'm hoping that you went to the winter or the spring meeting and got rid of Rana. I was hoping that maybe that was one of your votes and stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It was easy to do those votes. That was great, and we're way late on the break, so I guess I better let you go. But
okay.
I'm noticing not a single caller tonight, and we've been back-to-back calls. Seems to be worried about Rana's new career at MSLSD. So we're going to have to tune in and see if she's standing up for us or if she's another turncoat. God bless you, Joan. Have a good weekend. See you in 2 weeks. All right. Joan's line is open, 303-696-1971, but we are way late on the break, so we're going there now. Stay with us, 710 KNUS. Another example here with Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin fame and his song Big Log from 1983 of just how differently music can affect you. Like, I remember the last time I played that song on the show, much closer to the unexpected loss of my wife in June of last year, that song made me feel sad and melancholy. And tonight it just sounded beautiful and sort of, you know, relaxing, like a vacation or I don't know. And that goes so well with a text that I just received that I'll share with you, and then we'll get right back to the phones. I think Dave in Centennial is up next. But and by the way, thanks to everybody, Janice and Will and just so many different people who are texting me and saying we're with you, and so many of us are thinking about you, and we prayed for you, and we're so glad to hear you sounding better. But this text is from an actual widower that I met the very first public event, 710 KNUS event. Didn't do tea party meetings, didn't do speeches or Republican gatherings or just much of anything after the loss of my wife. I think the very first event I went to was the Dennis Prager Cigar Night, that annual event that 710 KNUS puts on over at the View House. And it was nice, you know, and people were loving and supportive, and Prager was great, and George Brockler was emceeing, and people were in a good mood, and there was a left-wing loon who tried to disrupt it, and Kelly and I, you know, followed him out into the parking lot, and oh man, I was in a mood for that guy. But it was nice to be just surrounded by love and understanding and being propped up. And this gentleman wrote and said, "I'm the widower who introduced myself to you at the end of the Dennis Prager event. At the start of the show, I talked about spring being kind of a metaphor for what I'm trying to do with my own life and just, you know, start that spark of life and love and not think about losing the love of my life, but the love of my old life, because I still have a life to live and I can make a new life." And he said, "I wanted to reach out and see how you're doing and thank you for your efforts for all us followers of the Constitution." Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's the old text. That was the very first one. "Congratulations," he said tonight. "I believe you have just hit one of the milestones in the mourning process. It sounds like you've woken up and something feels different. Keep up the great work. You're an inspiration to all." Well, thank you. Thank you for all that, Will. I don't know. I hope I'm not too much of an inspiration because I got a lot of work to do. But I appreciate that I can help elevate people if that is in fact true. But I hadn't thought about it this way. He said, "It sounds like you've woken up and something feels different. When you're living it day to day, you don't feel the transitions." But I think he's right. Because, you know, for months, you just wake up and every morning, the first thing is that your life is no longer complete, that you have a loss. And not waking up and thinking that first thing anymore, a switch has flipped. And that is very, very powerful in this process and trying to claw your way back to love and life and, you know, success and all of those things. So thank you for that, Will. And then before we get back to the phones, my mention of John McCain and the virtue signaling apparent well, he said he was a Republican registered voter texter tonight, and I'd love for him to call in. But John McCain came up, and the virtue signaler defended John McCain and his no vote, his thumbs down on the repeal and replacement of Obamacare. And retired law enforcement officer Steve in Littleton, regular listener to the show, Randy, John McCain disgraced his military service. He was a jerk. He had a chance to be historic in a positive way, not a reckless military guy who, you know, got people injured on a ship and then apparently exhibited a huge amount of integrity in staying in a prisoner of war camp and suffered for the rest of his life as a result. I get all that. But you're defined by what you do, and his legacy will always be the no vote that stopped the repeal and replacement of Obamacare. And these virtue signalers just have to figure this out. And then I think, you know, it doesn't do any good if we're going to try and win an election to constantly engage with the naysayers and the criticizers and the never Trumpers. And, you know, the guy said that I was filleting Donald Trump on this show. And I didn't read that part on air, but, you know, I shouldn't let myself get triggered. I would love for this person to call in on the air, be treated with the respect that I treat all my callers except for Dave in San Francisco, and let's have a conversation. Let's see what principles you're using to challenge the obvious direction that this election is going. Let's see what principles you're using to decide, I cannot, will not vote for Donald Trump. Let's just hear it. And let's talk about it. Maybe we can find some common ground. Maybe we can realize that, you know, if the best you can do is decide I'm going to vote for the lesser of two evils and realize that someone who puts American values first, American security, success, prosperity, sovereignty first, is better than the other guys who are letting millions of illegal invaders into our country, lying, hiding their secrets from the American public, taking millions of dollars to enrich themselves and their families from China. I mean, on and on and on. Let's talk about that, and maybe we could come to some mutual understandings that would allow us to proceed together. I'm going to try really hard because, you know, the feisty in me just wants to wheel and deal all the time, and I know that's not the best method for success. So, virtue signaling caller, I'll stop calling you names, but you ought to call the show. I mean, virtue signaling texter. It's the last time I will say virtue signaling texter. I'm pretty sure it's the last time I'll say virtue signaling texter. Call the show, 303-696-1971. All right, let's get to Dave in Centennial. Thanks for waiting, Dave. Sorry I'm rambling.
Randy, forget John McCain. He looks like John Wayne in comparison to the unprincipled Republicans that are in the House and the Senate that just voted in this 6 months. It's only good for 6 months. $1 trillion bill that funds abortion, funds a retirement home for gay people, funds LBG education, funds 40 to 50 Egyptian students in the U.S. It was the biggest wet kiss on the rear end for Obama, Biden, Schumer, Pelosi.
It was terrible, Dave. I don't get it. I met people who knew Mike Johnston, said he's principled. He's been, you know, all the things that he appeared to be when they elected him since, you know, throughout his career, even before he became a politician. And what a disappointment. He's another Paul Ryan, nothing more.
They all are. And the worst of the worst is now this dimwit female House member wants to promote a move to replace Johnson. We only have one majority vote in the House. If they go to a vote, there's an excellent chance that the minority leader for the Democrats could be the majority leader in the House. So
I hear you,
I'm
man.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's worse now. I mean, what McCain did was historically anti-American, but what these Republicans are doing, we got to sweep them out. That's all there is to it. Dave, thank you very much for the call. Music is here. Clock is weird. Almost straight up 7 o'clock, though. I'm Randy Corporan. Final hour ahead. Dave's line is open. Other lines are full. Stay with us. 303-696-1971. Definitely final hour. You're going to...
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.